Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to mourn not one, but two serious characters. Plus, we have a very special guest in the house tonight, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
How do I say goodbye?
You know, these are trying times. But y'all, we out here talking to ghosts because we got a very special guest in the house tonight. Khalil, aka Painkiller, aka Mr. Jordan Calloway, how are you doing tonight?
I mean, I feel alive right now.
that is good. I'm your girl Drew Jones, and crying to my left is the ever so animated Miss Portia Carter. Portia, how are you holding up?
I'm not holding up, actually. But she said it, y'all. I'm Portia, and I'm not holding up.
We're not okay. Well, we are okay. We've got Jordan with us, so we're okay.
Right. We're going to have a good time.
But
it's you know what? I'm grateful that it's just a show. I'm grateful that he's here in the flesh right now. I'm grateful that I can touch a muscle or two. You know what I'm saying? I'm grateful that he's alive and well and breathing. But when I tell y'all, I'm really, like, so emotionally attached to characters with shows that I love. It was a lot. Like, it took two blows in one night. It took a lot for me to, like, take my eyes off the screen.
It was the right hook than the left hook.
Oh, my God. And that left hook was double.
It was just...
They gave me an uppercut, jab, all types of stuff.
That was a mollywop. That
they
wasn't even
me out.
Y'all are hilarious.
Talk about Creed 1 when he lost. Okay, that was me.
Come on now. You guys, we have so much to get into tonight. We have our OMBL segment, My Black Lightning. So you guys start thinking of those because there's a lot of moments that Portia quite literally said OMBL. And then as always, you know our girl Portia has beef with Gamby, so she's always got to check him. And so we're going to have Gamdar later. Plus, we have a bunch of fan questions for Jordan, if he can take the hot seat.
Ooh,
so those are coming up. Be sure to keep bringing those to the chat. So we start this episode off pretty hardcore, you know?
I mean, we pick up right where we left off, right?
Yeah.
I mean, shoot.
How was it filming just like face down like that the entire time?
Oh, man. That was a lot. I mean, Rob Hardy, he was great to work with. So it was wonderful with his direction. And with the script as well, it was just, you know, being able to dissect something. You have like such a small spot to really use to work with the camera. And then you also got to lay down there and not move. But
deliver your lines in such an excellent way that you did. Like, you really did that. Felt like you were in pain.
Good.
It, you read it on your face. It came through your eyes, through the way. Not a coughing. I was like, nah, he gotta stop that. I'm over that one. You gotta chill. Don't be out. Get the words out. We need to hear your last words. We need to hear what you got to say because we on a mission.
Say it with your chest.
But you did an amazing job.
I appreciate that.
Look,
thank you.
In my face, look, that's massage position. When your face and the fake that you don't want to talk.
I fell asleep one time.
Y'all was on Seth Forever, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that was, like, the easiest and hardest thing that I ever had to do, to be honest. I mean,
really?
Yeah, I'm just laying down there. It's comfortable.
I bet it's very comfortable. You can't see any of the actors, right?
Like, no, they had a mirror down there that you could see. So you saw the reflection.
How are you connecting with them? Because we couldn't see it. But that, I mean, A1 steak sauce, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
With some good acting. Unfortunately, Reverend Holt didn't make it. It took Portia a little bit.
It took Portia a little bit to
catch on that he was dead. But our girl Cutter shows up in her Sunday best and takes him out via poison. He's done.
Reverend just started a revolution in the sanctuary. His whole sermon was about Khalil, how he just got his spine ripped out, and how they about to go in, how they about to take back the city with full force. He was on some Harriet Tubman. He said, shout out to Harriet Tubman, shout out to MLK. Like, he, you know, named the greats of the greats, because he like, we about to start a revolution. We going to go and get this. And not only that, he ended it with a, let the church say amen.
He said,
I just knew that the revolution would not be televised. And next thing I know, he on the ground. You can't tell me you thought he was dead at first.
I gotta do a show with her every week.
Yeah, I love it though.
He looked real dead though. When he fell over, he was like, it was like dead. Like,
She was like, wait, hold up.
He passed out to me. That was a pass out. That wasn't a dead. That's why I'm like, no, he ain't dead. And then, you know, Henderson told Jeff, like, he had a heart attack. Okay, you know, people come back from heart attacks. I ain't thinking too much about that. Mm-hmm. And then Gabby talking about he done did, you know, experiments on the body. I said, what body?
But you didn't see Cutter. But, like, Cutter's not about to, like, mess up again.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
but can we just point out Cutter the fact did that Cutter had her Sunday best on with the nose ring? I mean,
yes,
like,
she looked good.
That was.
She strutted up out of that church.
Shout out to
she looked
Mama
like
Rebecca
she just killed somebody.
Out there, man. She killed it.
She did that. Holt said a couple of really interesting things. And, I mean, the show in general, you guys kind of tackle a lot of issues very subtly. Not even very subtly. It's pretty plain, but it's like...
Yeah, plain as day, all up in your face. What's up?
Yeah,
talking
so
about you.
He said, we cannot depend on the Democrats or the Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Go on. And then he said, we have to take back our culture, communities, and streets. Mm. How is it... Was that, like, something that drew you to the show? Was, like, how kind of forward they are?
Yeah, we're going way back. Okay. Well, first of all, what drew me to it was actually the fact that I'm a big geek and a nerd, so I love superheroes. Mm-hmm. And, obviously, Black Lightning being the first, like, black superhero show, I think that's something that we say a lot of times, but, you know, it holds weight. It definitely holds weight. Nieces and nephews, six of them. And so me being able to be on screen playing in a superhero show, it's like... My child in me is like loving it, but at the same time, me as an uncle, it's like, yeah, this is something that they can see. I mean, my little nephew Jameer, he's like, hey, so can you shout out to China for me? And we did a video chat, you know, and of course, I'm the best uncle in the world now, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, for the show, that was what drew me to it, being able to be a face that other black kids, young black men and boys can see as well. And also embracing my inner geek and nerd. And then also, yeah, we handle serious topics. We go after mainstream events that are going on currently in today's. Mm. And we also, what Salim does and Mara, they do a great job of pulling the history of the black culture and applying it as well into a modern day. You see, you hear that in the music. I mean, you got Mos Def. Like, a lot of kids nowadays, they don't even know it. Who's that? But it's like, oh, okay. And you hear the influence of just the music, of just the culture. And it plays out throughout Freeland. So I think they do a great job blending all of that together.
Yeah, amazing. You guys definitely... You guys don't just go after, I feel like, the, you know, racism is bad because X, Y, and Z. Like, you guys deep dive. Like, even to... With the whole, you know, the Democrats and Republican thing tonight, I was just like, oh, we really...
He threw independence in there, too.
Yeah, and independence. Yeah. Like, we're really going in there. We're just... And
it reminds me of Kendrick's song off of the Damn album, America. Mm-hmm. Or it's X, but, you know, he's like, ain't no black power when your baby's killed by a coward. You know, so it's like, I think they do a great job where they hit the things that are mainstream or things that we commonly seen, but they also hold our community accountable, you know?
Yeah, and then they give us hope because we're seeing this in entertainment. So not only is it going on around you, but no, we're going to be up in your face, in your living room, making you pay attention, entertaining you while giving you something to think about. And I think that says a lot about the creative arts and what we can do and how much power we hold when we make projects that give us a voice.
No, absolutely, absolutely.
I want to talk about you and Jefferson's relationship on the show because we see you kind of call him over and be like, I want you to take this dude out. And Jefferson, who...
You called him Mr. P.
All season one was ready to take him out, is now like, no, we have to go with the justice system on this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Where are they? Do you think, like, Jefferson feels guilty for the position Khalil's in? Like, what is going on there?
Well, I think it's... I feel like there's been growth, obviously. If you go back a few, I think it was maybe one or two episodes, when he had to be calmed down by Gambi. You know, Gambi was the one that had to bring him back.
Picking him up and slamming him on the ground.
Yeah, you know.
Do him like that.
But, I mean, like, that's a surrogate dad, you know. So, I mean, growing up in my home, I get caught hands as well, you know. I think any of us can say that.
Amen.
But... I think it's him coming to that realization of the man that he wants to be. And to your point about me with him, he was my father figure. He was the one that I grew up with because my father was incarcerated when I was younger. And so, Khalil's character. And so when I come back around, I'm seeing the man that I held at such a high level. I'm seeing the man I idolized, you know, the one that I wanted to follow after. And so that scene was also me having gone through experience, though, now. I was no longer the high school kid that was a track star and was going through... The road was just paved. No, now we throw in choices that I made and the consequences of those choices, and I have nobody else to blame except myself. And... sadly enough, it was too late. However, it wasn't too late for me to come back to my senses and to be the man that my mama raised me to be. Khalil. Speaking about Khalil.
Khalil. We're talking about Khalil.
Yeah.
Portia, you okay, girl?
Yes.
I just, like, you're making me sad.
Because, like, no, he just took us through this whole memory lane. Now I'm not even thinking about, you know... yes, I'm thinking about the conversation that he had with Jeff and letting him know how much he looked up to him and how important he was in his life. But I'm thinking about that time when Jeff pulled him to the side like, hey, you trying to take my daughter virginity? Like, you got me messed up. Shanked him up in the hallway like, who you think you is? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, every single time he caught them being out of line. And then... his first, the first person Khalil sees when he comes back after he get new legs and dreads is Jeff. Mm-hmm. That's the first person he see. The first person to recognize that, oh, this is Khalil. So it's just like, it's real emotional for me right now. Because I can't believe.
Well, I mean, it's very emotional. It's such a rich character. You know? It's such a great character.
Because it's like, Jeff, he can't hate him on so many reasons. First and foremost, you're his student. And then you're somebody he looked after since I don't know how long. A little boy, we don't know what age group the high school started at. Because, you know, some of them started, some people do K through 12. But anyway, we don't know, like, how he's definitely played a big, you know, father figure in the community to so many people. Mm-hmm. But then we got all of these aspects. Not only are you a father figure, not only are you the principal, not only are you somebody that you could look up to as a man, but you're my daughter's boyfriend, somebody that she loves with all of her heart. So now it hurts even more because now I got to see my daughter sad, well, you know?
And the other thing to that, though, is before I was Jen's boyfriend, me and her, we were best friends.
Best friends, yeah.
Yeah.
That was my road dog. As I like to say, like, she was my North Star, you know? So, you know, but...
they say all the love, and then he gotta go. So, it's real hard. When you lose somebody.
This is all the different layers that you add to it. That's great for it.
It hurt again.
It did. It was beautiful, that episode. Like, when we... we all cried.
I was gonna say, what was it like when you guys?
It was hard, man. It was hard. It was a definite emotional episode. That, I mean, just remembering not even just the cast, but also the crew. I mean, everybody that I had the pleasure to work with out there. I mean, it's such a great the family that you build up in there, and then the level of respect that you have for the different. Departments that all make this thing come together. I mean, make all this stuff come together. There's so many talented people.
How far in advance did you know you were going to die?
It's funny. I kind of, when I was reading about us going on the run, and the whole Romeo and Juliet storyline.
That's which what Drew said last week.
Which what? Yeah.
That's what Drew said last week. She said she knew you was gonna die because of the conversation y'all had in the trailer.
Yeah.
Or the train.
I felt like I kind of saw it coming, kind of in the sense of me playing. If I'm playing him so evil, or if I'm going down that path, we got to commit to that then. And if we're going to commit to that, then we have to make it extremely hard for me to come back.
Yeah.
You know? And so, I mean, like, I caught bodies on the show, too, with the one guy that came over to... I mean, it's like, how do you come back to that? Or come back from that, you know?
Yeah.
So...
It was a stretch.
I think I said
it was a stretch, but we had faith that it could work.
Absolutely. You got, and we saw how they redeemed them.
You got the piercings on your side. Mm-hmm. Like, you know... They can make some stuff shake. They can make some stuff happen. They can take care of you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think it was hats off to the writing. I mean, the writing squad. Like, I got to give a shout out to my boy Jamon Brown. He did this, him and Jan Nash, they did the episode last week. And funny enough, that episode was supposed to be the one that would end. The halfway point for the show, but I thought it worked out perfectly because we just get back into it. But I mean, like, the writing that he did, very romantic. It really allowed me to show, me and China to be able to depict what love actually looks like, something that's been forgotten, and it's not about the physicality of it.
Yeah,
that love that was. That blossom had to do with a seed that was planted from a friendship years and years and years of, like, labor and hardship, getting on each other's nerves and everything. So that was great to see that dynamic when you see the bud of what that flower was, which was, okay, this is what the love looks like, you know, between the two of them.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
It kind of seems like we're getting... Jen's, I don't want to say her origin story, but I think we're starting to see her motivation to start using her powers because of Khalil's death.
Mm-hmm. And I said this last season when we first saw that little spark of her having powers, I'm like, Khalil is going to be the reason why her powers are activated fully, because Jen is run by emotion. Like, everything that she does with her powers is from an emotional standpoint, whether she's feeling angry, you know, happy, sad, compassionate about something, that's when, like, everything just starts sparking for her. And her channeling her emotions gives her that power to be able to control them. But now she has this emotion of grief. Like, now it's like, I'm going all out. That's whatever true. I got to do.
And she's extremely powerful. Her character is like...
Man. She's the most powerful out of the three of them.
The most powerful out of everybody in Freeland. The metas, all them. The 30 that happened before, all that, the pod that we put together.
Right.
She'll take out a whole nation, okay? Well, ain't no villain army.
A nation. Speaking of a nation, Markovia got... I'm not sure if you guys know the whole story, but Markovia, that's a pretty big deal in the whole DC world, so...
It Some did other, get dropped. Other stuff, it other did stuff get dropped.
You guys coming out? It's gonna get crazy. It's gonna get crazy.
It is. Like that.
It's already crazy.
Oh, it is.
I don't know if we're gonna be able to handle more crazy.
I don't know.
I do love that Jen kind of. This is another instance where y'all really are staying reverent with, like, what's going on, or relevant with what's going on, because Jen blows up this white lady's car.
Because she called her. She lied. With all of the lies she can come up with. I saw her breaking into my car. Mm-hmm. And my thing is, I feel like if it was just a regular white girl sitting there crying on the car, she would have knew that she was crying. Hi, how are you? What's going on? But she literally was like, I saw her break into my car. Yeah, she African-American. Excuse me? Oh, so that's what we doing.
She also said she was 5'6". And I just don't... I've met China, and she is not. She is a very small...
I'm gonna drink on that one.
She's a very small person. So
that was a lot.
I just thought it was funny, especially because
she deserved it.
Obviously, we've seen it a bunch in the news the past, like, six. Well, I mean, for forever, but especially
barbecues.
Barbecue Becky. We saw. I don't know what I wouldn't want to name this one.
She said her car got barbecued.
She said her car was new.
So she's still barbecue Becky.
Where?
About where?
I said that's
no. She said she had a new purse in her car.
But she also said her car was like new.
She did.
And
say
I wanted
that.
To be like,
but
to
then she
you,
corrected it, kind of like,
it's
but
new
not really
to you.
Yeah.
But it's not new.
Yeah. Either way it go, all that was uncalled for. She ain't even have to do baby girl like that. Like, let her drive her tears and keep it pushing so she can be out your way.
Well, Jen's powers get out of control. Jeff pulls up. They hide and.
Perina just pop up.
Erica,
just
shows up.
Through.
Erica,
I love her.
Come on, Erica. Showing
this
up on
like,
time.
What Perina does is like what we wish would happen in the Black community when it comes to children facing trauma and their parents not knowing what to do. We wish that they would just allow, you know, a third party and be it a therapist or...
She is kind of like Jen's therapist.
Yeah, like
yeah.
a therapist or some type of mentor or something or someone that can be able to help your child control those emotions and that trauma and everything that they're feeling so that they can be able to be the child that you want them to be because... Everybody, parents ain't got all the answers, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm seeking out therapy now because my parents ain't have all the answers, okay? Mm. Like, it's just
it
a lot.
Be like, that.
Like, so I just, like, that moment really gave me hope because I'm just like, I wonder how many parents are watching this to know that, okay, whenever my child is acting out in school, whenever my child is, you know, facing these things where they're really angry or they having some issues that they can't talk to me about, let me let some inside person who they feel comfortable with in and try to reconcile that so I can know that my child can come back from whatever it is that they're facing you know, and not see them as a goner.
If I can, like, to add to that, what it kind of really highlights is community, going back
to it takes a village.
And you know, I mean, especially When we look at our community and like our parents are every like they had the community. So we do we have that nowadays though? You know, and I would argue
the community
like,
is the technology. Phones became community real quick.
Yeah,
real quick, especially to kids growing up now. Like, you know, when I went home for Christmas, it's just like all the little kids. Yeah, they do want to be around playing, but they want to be around playing on their gadgets. So it's like they in their phones. Us, when we was kids, wasn't no phones, wasn't no technology. We was in all the grown folks' business, okay? At all the Christmas parties. Stay out of grown folks' business. Go sit over there. Go. We just trying to be all up in your face, trying to do what you doing. We want to play cards because you playing cards. Like, that's how I learned. That's how I became a space champ, okay? Like, just being in grown folks' business. They don't do that these days. They sit over there by themselves and they be in their little gadgets. They be, all right, let me see your phone. That's what they on. You got games on your phone? You got this? You got that, like.
I definitely agree, though. I definitely think it's a sense of community, and I definitely think it's a little nod to, like, Black people, let's all go to therapy together. It's not that bad, I swear. It's just, like, it's really nice, actually.
Maybe go back to whooping your kids, maybe. I don't know. Can I say that one?
Listen.
Well, we don't know if they're not whooping them, though. We don't know that.
I'm going to say, my mama was out here in these streets whooping.
My mama was.
We don't know that.
My mama hurt me.
I'm going to say, I'm still scared of her, so.
Man.
I am a grown woman. While all this is going on, Tobias and the Blue Power Ranger, aka Todd, are out here.
Not the Blue Power Ranger.
Really
I'm just
I'm
mad.
Not about to play.
How are you gonna go from the pause for 1 second? How are you gonna go from the best Power Ranger in that movie? He was the best. The Blue Power Ranger was easily the star of that movie. Then you're gonna be Uncle Tom Todd. I'm not a fan of Todd because he's just too willy nilly. You know, he's just too gun ho.
Can I let you in on something?
Yes.
I ain't seen the Power Ranger movie.
Can I let you in on something? Mm-hmm. That does not surprise me at all.
Okay, tit for tat. We even.
Anyway, you should watch it. It's a good movie. But Tobias and Todd, Tobias,
maybe,
lets everyone know that he knows Dr. Jace. And he actually knows her from 30 years ago and that she looks the same. And we find out. After Todd breaks her out of jail for the night, that she is the person behind the anti-aging serum. She tested on Tobias. They have a very weird relationship, but...
Because he mad, but he ain't mad.
You know,
at the end of the day, Tobias has a lot of knowing in him. He got a lot of knowing in the same feelings that we have as a community, as black people. He got them same feelings, but he masks them with hate. So he don't really put it out there. Mm. But he really feels some type of way about a little white person doing some experimental on black kids, like they some guinea pigs. Mm-hmm. He ain't feeling that, but he don't know how to really say that because it helped him. You know, he ain't, his 30 years plus, and mm-hmm. he still looked the same, so he good.
He did say,
but at the end of the right. day, he knew she wasn't right. That's why he don't like her like that, but he got to deal with her because he knows she powerful.
Well, she knows where these metas are, and as we see at the end of the episode, it looks like she has taken them there. There's actually another relationship I really want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Tobias and Cutter.
Oh,
cause y'all felt that.
So we got some QTA questions that need answers for those who don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
What's going on? Do you? I mean,
QTA. You know what's up?
I know as much as y'all know now.
Listen, there is. You
I
know
stopped
what?
Getting, I stopped getting scripts.
True.
Oh. I'm dead.
Wow.
I didn't mean to take y'all back. My bad.
Yeah, that was steep.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's really like
that was steep.
Really like sad in here all of a sudden.
We was talking about the relationship.
Yes, Cutter and Tobias. When she first came onto the scene, I think I said like there's something weird. She has scorn woman face. Like when a man just ruins your life. She had that face when she first walked in.
But I mean, she did say that it helped her find her true calling.
Which is killing people.
Yeah, no.
Slanging fools. You know what I'm saying? Look, this is what happens. I swear I'll be coming up with some crazy stuff.
Oh, Lord.
But this is what happens when a fool break your heart and mm-hmm. leave you in the dirt and the dust. You go around shaking everybody. You get your nods. You just... Look, because I've been through some situations that have made me crazy.
I'm going to move over there. All right. You got a little bit too real.
She is smaller. She is mighty.
Okay, look. I ain't ever had to shake nobody, though. But I have done some crazy stuff. But so I can understand when somebody puts you to that limit and then all you know is rage. You know what I'm saying? So she probably done experienced that with Tobias. And you know what? I ain't even gonna hold you up. He don't look like the lovey-dovey type.
Mm.
He look like the type that'll take you through some stuff. Mm. Like, the ones who are not emotional, like, not emotionally available, don't text back, hit you with the, oh, I gotta go. You know what I'm saying?
Light skin.
Wow.
Marvin,
you put the label of all labels on it. You explained exactly what I was talking about.
Can't
so that means you be on that too.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You light skinned though.
Nah.
But anyway,
I don't go by labels.
Like I was saying, no. So Tobias also look, and this is just look. I ain't even look.
If you know, I just want y'all to know.
I don't personally think this way about light-skinned people. It's an online social media joke, so don't quote Portia Carter saying she don't mess with the light-skinned, okay?
You just saying that, like, Let's not, though, too.
And he's lying. And he's lying. Okay, back to what I was saying. He looked like he done took her through some stuff, and so she had to go crazy, and that crazy took her into her calling, which is being a cutter. Granted, it's a really messed up calling. But that's what happens when somebody break your heart and you don't know how to come back from it.
I definitely want to dive more into their relationship. I want to see more of it because I'm interested. Because I don't think he'd be a good boyfriend, but I feel like I can understand.
Did you just say for like Tobias's character, you don't think he would be a good boyfriend, but?
But like,
what's the but?
I feel judgment on this side of the room. I could understand. He's very charismatic. Like, when we see him talk, you know, in press conferences and stuff, I could see how he could charm someone.
I think somebody got crushed.
No.
Joel
was on Tobias. We missed you, Joel. Come back to the show. I just
but
said...
You co-signed a little bit.
This is a good-looking cast.
You like how them suits is fitting on him, huh?
No, okay, she like when they put him in the ring with Big Mandingo and he won.
Oh, yeah.
She liked that.
Was good.
He had his shirt off and everything.
That was a good
He was
good
sweating,
team.
little strong man.
You put me on blast over here?
Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't like that.
Give her... Who,
it wasn't like that.
Put her out there. We all want to know. The fans want to know.
I'm not putting her on blast because I'm a child of God.
Look at that. Praise him. Hallelujah.
And we still have so much to get into in this episode besides what Portia and I fancy on this show, but it is a very good looking cast.
It's a beautiful cast.
Congrats. It is a CW show, so we're not really surprised by that. I don't think CW has ever casted anyone ugly in their entire existence as a network.
Hey, amen. Come on, no uglies.
You know.
Todd.
You know. You all right.
Look, when I don't like somebody, I think they ugly because they ugly in the inside, so they ugly outside. Mm. But so he ain't really ugly. He's just
his character.
Yes, okay. I am. Okay. So he's ugly in character right now because I just feel like he's super gullible and he's like a puppet, you know? He don't think for himself. He don't want to do nothing on himself. He really letting money run his decisions, run his life. And that's why they say the love of money is the root of all evil. Because he's acting real. He's playing a part into the evil that Tobias has going on. But he playing that part only because the money is in his account. And it's, you know, flowing every time he does something.
He's a little prideful too, though, you know. I mean, the way he was talking to Cutter the last episode. Mm-hmm. Also how he walked in there with Jason and everything. Dr. Jace.
He said, I already told you I was.
Yeah, you know, he a little prideful, you know. Prideful. I mean, there's a verse for that too. Pride comes before the
amen.
A haughty spirit before destruction.
Come on.
We just dropping
Come
quotes.
On, Proverbs.
Just saying Proverbs. Hey,
verses. Children of God on this show.
Amen. Hey. Y'all already know.
So,
I'll take you there.
Let's talk about...
Let's do it.
Before we get too deep into this black hole that is this show, let's talk about Henderson and Jefferson's relationship because I love Henderson.
This is cute. This is cute what happened today.
It's like... It's still very much that, like my grandma says, I love you, but I don't like you right now. That's the Henderson and Jefferson relationship in a nutshell. But
Henderson can't deny Jeff. He told this man, I'm a cop, and you a vigilante. He done called this man a vigilante like 6 times.
It's about to be a drinking game. Since we've been back,
okay? Mm-hmm. Like, that's all he keeps saying, but it's like, I gotta love you because you low-key powerful. You powerful and you my best friend.
It's family. That's what I think it was. It was
family.
Like, it's like
he's
family.
Yeah,
you know?
He real deal love him. And sometimes, this is real hard for me to say right now because I'm going through some stuff, but, sometimes when you really, really love family and friends and they people who, like, mean something in your heart, like, you can actually look past what they do no matter how bad it hurts you, you know? Yeah. But, you know, you got to set boundaries. Oh, I'm preaching real quick to myself. Thank you. Okay, but, yeah. And so, look, let me tie it back in. I think Henderson is trying to set them boundaries, but Jeff break it through all them walls. He like, you can't do that to me.
Because Jeff is also letting him in, though, too. There's a little give and take, and you know also the dynamic of what's going on around them in their community because they both have a love for the community, you know. So it's like there's understanding that's happening right there. There's understanding.
I'm sorry, y'all. I just went somewhere personally.
No, it's good.
Man,
you are good.
I did not mean to even think about this on this show tonight, but you know a lot of stuff just happened within the last couple of days. But anyway, so. Yeah, like, I like what's going on because, you know, he letting him in, like, no more secrets.
Can I just hit something real quick? I'm sorry.
Hit the table.
That's why I'm so happy about this damn show because we causing stuff like that.
Yes. No, it's always having, like that with me, though.
But it's good.
I'll be having all types of
things. Let him have his moment. It's good. Right, it's good. Right. And that's what good storytelling is supposed to do. It's supposed to cause you to be entertained, but it's a catharsis within the audience to make you think about it and then take it back to your own life. I'm pulling stuff from the show, too. So it's good, mama. Go through it.
I always take this stuff to my real life, okay?
Go through it.
I done told these people, our audience, they know a lot about me, okay?
Fact, they be knowing too much about
They know
us.
My whole life story.
I really want to get into some fan questions with you, so let's touch on a few more people, and then we'll hop into the fan questions.
Okay.
Lynn, she was on her, like, on her her HBIC tonight, I feel like. I'm interested to see where she goes with ASA. I feel like this is going to be a hard hit for her.
She right? Yeah, well, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the death is going to be a hard hit for everyone, but I feel like we're going to see it affect them in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but last time some pod kids or anybody died, she was drinking for a couple of days.
Yeah, but it's somebody she knows.
She was out of her mind. Mm-hmm. And now, not only is it somebody she know, like I said, this is her daughter's boo thing. You know what I'm saying? Whew, that's tough.
I'm interested to see how that plays out. I feel like with Anissa, because we did get to see some Thunder Grace tonight. Well...
She said Thunder Grace.
That's their name.
That was nice.
That's what they're calling them on Twitter. That's what the kids are calling them. Thunder Grace. I didn't pick that name. But we got to see our dear friend Chantel on the show tonight, which was great. Love her.
Bringing the burgers and fries.
Bringing the burgers and fries. I feel like this death is going to cause Anissa to invest more in Grace because she's not super emotional, I feel like, when it comes to relationships, besides her family. But I feel like the...
She's not, but in times of grief, Grace is there.
Like, and I think that's what's speaking value for her.
Like, the first time she ran to Grace when it happened. Mm-hmm. And now this time, Grace just showing up for her.
Yeah.
So it's different. Like, I love a pull up on you. Like, when somebody pull up on me, like, oh, you done pulled up on me. right. Like, I love a pull up on me. And she didn't even just pull up on her. She pulled up on her, like, being that comfort in her weak time.
She said, I'm not going to say that everything happens for a reason. I'm just going to say I feel bad for you. And people take notes because sometimes that's all you got to do.
Exactly.
You ain't got to have the answers. You just got to be there, you know?
Facts. Yeah. Writers, we want more Grace, and we want to know what's up with those powers, honey.
Yeah.
It was a little creepy when I saw the, you know, it's okay. We're not going to get a knot. We ain't talking about her right now, right?
We got questions. Let's wrap it up. We'll wrap the episode up with Khalil and Jen. Jen takes Khalil to her safe space.
Like, I wanted them to stay there.
And they go to prom.
Boy, it was looking kind of nice in that suit, though. I'm just saying. I mean, shoot. That powder white.
Let's not get crazy.
Hey.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you was with it. She know what I'm talking about. I know you feeling it, too. Yeah.
It was all right.
That's my little candidacy for 007. If Idris doesn't get it, you know. Go ahead and throw me in there.
What?
James Bond. He's pitching himself for James Bond. That's a movie about a spy.
You ain't seen that one either?
Yeah.
Okay, you have.
It's been a long time, though. I was young.
Okay. They're trying to make a...
Black
one. Idris.
Idris. He should
James
be.
James Bond.
But, you know,
he's saying that don't work out.
I'll step up.
You down
I'll,
for the
I'll
cause.
Do it.
Yeah.
Really.
You ready?
Yeah, I am ready. Put me in, coach.
I'm tag you in.
Okay, cool. Bet. There it is.
They go to prom, they get to say the I love yous, and then we get literally, in my opinion, and it's my opinion, people, so don't come up getting mad at me.
This is so
because last week I said that the spine thing was one of the nastiest things I've seen on the CW, and people were like, well, you haven't watched the 100. No, I haven't. I'm saying, my opinion, this is one of the saddest deaths I've ever seen.
Oh.
It was so sad.
Good.
Yeah.
I did my job.
You sure did. I feel bad for your mama on the show.
My mama in real life called me. Oh my gosh.
I feel like that's hard to watch. Like
she. Oh, it's funny. I mean, I probably shouldn't say that, but I'm that type of son where it's like, I kind of just like, it's funny, right?
Yeah, you should appreciate me.
She didn't. She.
No, she wasn't.
That was really steep. Like, I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. That was really steep. Everything in me just wanted to tell Jen, like, just touch him, electrocute him. Come on, bring him back to life. Come on.
I did want to see her. Yeah, I wanted to see her attempt it.
I really wanted her to, you know, do some type of something with her powers. Like, she brought Jeff back to life. Like, why you can't, you know?
Well, you see, in one of the scenes that we actually did, her and I, we actually got into a little argument. Mm-hmm. And then that's also why she was going to do it. But then she said, no, I'm not going to do it. You can die.
Oh.
That was
what?
I'm totally messing with you.
I was like, no.
Hold on.
you can't be playing with Portia like that.
I can't help it. I'm sorry.
Hold on. It was her fault. We get to meet her in here now.
We're about to have a Jen dar where every week Portia hated on Jen.
No.
Okay. So obviously, that's how the episode ends.
That's how it ends.
You die.
I'm done.
We really tried to grill him. We're like, but did you die? Nah, y'all. He died.
I died.
He's dead.
Got no script.
I was like, no, this is make-believe. You know what? I still have faith that Jen was going to touch him. And then they had to show us the previews at the funeral. You know what?
The body Lauren. Yeah.
She big mad. Big mad.
She mad.
That was a lot. I'm just glad you're here in the flesh, like in real life. Because that was a lot. That was a lot.
Normally we would do our own BL moment. You can play the thunder for that real quick. Or the lightning. Thunder makes noise. Lightning is the... Anyway, I went to school. But we're gonna do some fan questions real quick so we have enough time.
Let's go.
So, favorite scene with China?
Favorite scene with China? Ooh, dang. We had so many fun scenes. I would probably say maybe this one in the prom. That was a lot of fun. We were very we were locked in that day, so it was really, really good. That was a fun scene. Probably some of the ones on the roof, obvious. Oh, the one smoking.
Y'all smoking for real?
No.
Okay.
No, that was paprika.
Okay.
It's terrible. But yeah, those scenes on the roof, those were fun. Yeah, it was always fun.
So what was it like working with China?
Well, I love China. She's great. I mean, it's fun. Just see, I'm kind of the big kid.
Yeah, I both grew up in front of the camera.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of the big kid. So we have this little game where it's like when it's one of our coverages, we'll try and make the other person laugh, and we won't break. But it's fun. I wish you guys could see the blooper reels that we have on each other. Man, we have a blast. She's great. She's wonderful.
You should post them.
I
gotta get them.
You're right.
Like, outside of the show, who do you really like hanging out with from the cast?
It's funny. Marvin. Marvin is great. I mean, me and him, we actually are in the same apartment building. We always are linking up, going through Bible studies, always chilling, holding each other accountable, working out. I love kicking it with Marvin.
Sorry, I'm combing through all of the are you single questions. Really, people?
Oh, well.
Just ask them.
Are you single?
Well,
he drank some water, y'all. So, heart.
Am I?
If you listen quietly, you can hear hearts slowly breaking.
When
he took that gulp.
Know. Was that gulp?
When he took that gulp, it said, no.
What was that?
That what it was?
No.
I don't know if that's what it was.
Mm.
So answer the question for the people.
On to another question.
Okay.
You got another question.
Amen.
Who is someone you'd love to work with in the future?
Oh, okay. I was asked that actually recently. Probably Jake Gyllenhaal would be one. I think he's dope. Tom Hardy, I think, is dope. Idris, obviously. Dwayne Johnson. Who else? I mean, there's a couple. I'm going brain dead right now.
Did you do all your stunts yourself?
I did most of them. I got hurt on a few of them, but yes, I got to give shout out to my guys Nick and Corey, both of my stunt doubles. But for the most part, they let me do all the fight scenes and the stunts until I fell and then cut my arm up and then also rolled my ankle one time. But hey, perks of the business.
This is a question. I went to college in Atlanta, so I want to know, what was your favorite thing to do in Atlanta when you weren't filming?
Favorite thing to do? Man. Oh, Claremont Lounge, man. Never went.
What?
Never went. No, absolutely not. Probably, okay, this sounds boring, but running the belt line. I enjoyed running the belt line. I wanted to get up, I forget where it was, but the water, whatchamacallit, the rabbits, I forget. It was one of the water things that are around there I wanted to go check out, but I didn't get to. Topgolf. I love Topgolf.
Well, Topgolf in Atlanta is fun.
I would say you could always go back, but you're dead on the... I mean, I guess you could back on your own
show.
Time.
Another show.
I mean, that's true. Atlanta is where everyone's filming things now.
A lot of work out there.
Let me see. Are you interested in producing or directing content?
Oh,
I know
yeah.
you were telling us a little bit before the show.
Absolutely. I went to school for screenwriting or for...
You got a production degree, right?
Production, yeah. So I majored in production, minored in screenwriting. And I was been working on my a graphic novel that I've been developing that I started off telling my niece and nephew bedtime story. And then I just blew up into creating a whole world and
That's
lore
so amazing.
And everything.
When
yeah.
you put that out?
I want to put that out this year. I'm getting the first issue colored up, so I want to have that. I want to have something to give to the audience before, so it's not necessarily me getting funding to actually get it done. It's more so funding to get the second one done. So, I have about 4 scripts that are written with that already. I have the first issue of it being colored right now, and then I just finished writing another pilot that I want to sell. So we'll see. Wherever God leads, I'm just... Yes. Lifting up the sails.
Yes. Well, last question before we head into predictions. Obviously, this is a DC show.
Mm-hmm.
But we did get the trailer for Marvel's Infinity Wars, or not Infinity Wars, Endgame, Avengers Endgame, not too long ago.
Oh, of course.
Who from Infinity Wars was the hardest to watch?
Die?
Like, disintegrate, yeah.
Damn.
For you.
The hardest for me to watch. I would probably say Drax. Drax was oh hard because he's so funny.
That was.
Or Groot. But also, you know, Peter Parker, you said, RIP to the king, T'Challa. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty much...
those were good ones.
Oh, but you know what? No. Who was that didn't disintegrate? Gamora. For me, that right there was such a well-written piece. My only thing would have been, if they could have, and I probably would have been overkill, but for when Thanos looks back as he's grabbing her by the arm, as he looks back, if he were to look back and just seen the baby, the young Gamora, you know, I was like, this dude Thanos,
he don't care.
he cares, but it's like, he really dealing with some stuff, like, that
You're
for
really
me,
a fan.
I really am.
He is. Real deal comic book fan, people.
Look, like, this is how I talk about Black Lightning.
Yeah, it is.
We're here.
We're in this. Let's hop into predictions before we have to get up out of here. They kick us out of here.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Jen is going to be the one to kill Tobias. That's my prediction. Because I know that, you know, what's his face? I just lost his name.
Marvin or...
No.
Jeff?
Yes. Jeff wants to do it.
The lead of the show.
I'm sorry,
the show
y'all.
Is named after.
I had a brain fart.
Black Lightning.
I had a brain fart. Stop, don't do me. They don't, look, you know what? Okay. So, I know that Jeff was telling Khalil, like, no, I ain't gonna do it, you know? And I think what happened was he was kind of, like, tainted in his mind about it from everybody else around him, you know, telling him to be calm, let the system get him and all this other stuff. But because he's not gonna do it, Jen gonna handle what she gotta do. Maybe not next episode and maybe not this season, but I think Jen gonna be the one to take Tobias out.
I think either next episode or the episode after, because I think Jen, like you said, is going to be really adamant on going after Tobias. I think Gambi's going to give her a suit because he's going to be like...
He needs to. Come on.
He's going to be like, I don't want you to go after him, but if you're going to go, you're going to need this. Because we have seen the pictures, so we do know she's suiting up.
She's suiting up.
And she looks
suit
good.
Is dope, right?
I think it might be my favorite suit out of the three.
It is my favorite. I'll say it. It is my favorite.
So, that's my prediction. You can't give us a prediction, can you?
Why can't I?
I mean, I guess you can because you did. So,
yeah.
Predict.
I think.
Oh, my gosh.
You okay?
You gonna predict your resurrection?
I think. Sure. I think Gambi is going to come back. I think Gambi is going to, he's going to come out as White Lightning.
You know what?
How y'all feel about that?
That's not no Ebony and Ivory.
That's the White Lightning.
White
not
Gambi.
White.
It's going to become the Gambi show, too. Watch.
Good and night.
Okay.
Good
and
night.
Well, y'all. Good night. The Tom Fuller.
Y'all don't like my predictions. What's wrong with my predictions?
Y'all, this is why they don't let us get into big groups like this, because we don't know how to act.
I do.
But until next time, thank you so much for coming in. You're welcome
worse than me.
To
thank
come hang
so
out
much.
With
He's worse
hang
than
out
me.
With us, whatever.
About time.
Where can they find you on the internet?
On the internet, Jordan Calloway 1, and then Jordan Calloway _6. One of them goes to Instagram
right.
and Twitter. I'm terrible on it, so.
Well, hopefully you guys can find the him.
That's what it is, Jake. _Calloway. Which one?
6.
6.
That's Instagram.
It. All right. Well, that's it.
There it is. Stop.
I'm your girl, Drew Jones. You guys can follow me on all the things at OK Drew J. I'll be on The Flash tomorrow night, so tune in. Portia, get us up out of here. Tell them where they can find you.
All right, y'all. Thank y'all so much for watching. Make sure y'all follow me on all social media at Portia Carter. We out.
Bye, y'all.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.